Would you still feel motivated to make content if no one clicked it, tapped it, or tuned in?
Our creators are very passionate about what they do, but we get a lot of questions about how they can connect and grow their audience.
Reminds me of the old question, if a tree falls in a forest and no one's around to hear it, does it actually make a sound?
Our creators want to be seen and heard. What are some strategies they can use to amplify their content and reach more people?
Marketing a project and attracting attention is a challenge even for big Hollywood studios. They even still screw it up sometimes. So stay with us to get some pointers from two Canadian content creators and influencers who know how to engage their audiences.
Welcome to First Frame, brought to you by TELUS StoryHive. I'm Jennifer Park.
And I'm Cameron Zinger, and we're here to help empower new and emerging Canadian content creators by answering their most pressing questions, sharing diverse success stories, and getting insights from people who've been down this path before.
On every episode, we unpack the journey of a leading Canadian creator, or creators, all the way from inception to completion.
Canadian content creators need a podcast to call home, and this is it.
On this episode, I'm excited to explore a topic that a lot of people find challenging, whether they make a living creating content or not. How to actually grow your follower count.
Creating a great project is only half the battle. Building a dedicated and engaged audience is another thing entirely. And it can take a lot of hard work.
So how do you get people to notice you? What are the best strategies for creating real connections with listeners and viewers? And how important is audience engagement in the first place?
To help us answer those questions, we reached out to two Canadian content creators and influencers who have a total of more than 1.5 million followers between the two of them. First, it's my pleasure to introduce actor and content creator, May Belen.
Hi, nice to meet you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, great to have you.
And also joining us today, she is an actor, a producer, a model, and TV host who not only is just back from covering the Cannes Film Festival, but is also recently nominated for a Leo Award for Best Host of an Information, Lifestyle, or Reality TV Series for StoryHive On Location Vancouver.
Yeah.
Woo, that was a mouthful. Zara Durrani, thank you so much for being here and huge congratulations on your nomination.
Thank you so much. Thank you all for having me. It's a pleasure.
I can't wait to learn more about how both you've been so successful in growing your audiences and marketing your work. But first, tell us how you first got into content creation.
It was during pandemic, actually. And I just wanted a place where I can document the first time I ever tried doing art. Because like everyone during the pandemic, we were bored and trying new things. So I would just start drawing. I found a piece of paper, I found a pencil, and then I would just document it. And then eventually, it started developing and evolving into other content and then eventually ramped up. Like, long story short, it started from drawing and now it's making really stupid videos trying to make people laugh.
And Zara, what about you? You've been a prominent figure in the Canadian entertainment industry for many years. So how did you first get started?
I started a few decades ago and it's been a bit of a ride. I first started out as a model acting, and through the journey of like self-discovery and 2 decades ago, there weren't many people on television who looked like me. So one of the things I heard was if you wanted to be the number one on the call sheet, you have to make your own content. And I didn't really know how. And one of the things I've heard time and again is that you're really good with people and you're really good at making people feel safe, seen, and heard. And that's something I've just heard over and over again through my interviews. That led me to creating a local show called Van Essence that was on a local network just covering the news community events in Vancouver. While doing that, I got asked to do a national show with no funding. So it meant that I had to create it myself and I was under 30 and I got to do that. And I feel like the rest is history. Like now it's my 3rd year with StoryHive On Location. And, you know, we just got nominated for a Leo Award for On Location, which I think is like first time for On Location. And I just feel really grateful that I get to do what I love and get paid for it.
And we are so happy to have you represent StoryHive at the Leos. That is so exciting.
Yeah, very exciting. And congratulations again on the nomination.
Thank you so much.
We'll be cheering.
Thank you.
For sure. We'll be there. So now that we've gotten to know each of you just a little bit better, let's talk about some of the struggles that you've faced and lessons you've learned along the way to becoming a successful creator. What's been your biggest challenge in terms of marketing yourself and building your following? And how did you overcome it? May, I'll pass this one to you.
So biggest challenge, I would say, is trying to find my identity. Just because as someone with ADHD and probably like 50% of the population nowadays, It's so hard to figure out what I want to do, you know? I would always be posting whatever comes to mind, whatever I find funny, whatever I find entertaining or something. And the hardest part about that is that you never get the chance to hone in on a specific micro niche. And that's how you start to grow a following, is creating your own micro niche and monopolizing through that. You know what I mean? It's just like you have to create your own little genre that people go to specifically for that kind of content. And what I struggled with is that I just kept on posting whatever I wanted. And unfortunately, that caused a lot of challenges for me just because the people who were following me didn't know what to expect. And I think if I were to do it all over again, I would definitely be a little more intentional with what I would post and just keep in mind why I would be posting this and how it helps with my image. So I guess that was probably one of the hardest things I could do is branding, because I did not know what I was doing.
Yeah, that's great advice, like finding your niche and making sure that your audience knows what to expect when they come to see you and they're exactly tuning into you, right? Mm-hmm. So Zara, what about yourself?
So for me, one of the things I would say early on, and I think maybe it's like being old school, is, you know, being South Asian, not being born in this country, knowing that I don't have the same advantages as people who are not minorities or people who are born here or when English is your first language. And it's like a subliminal thing. Like you have to work so much more harder. And people tell me this all the time. Hey, take it easy, be cool, be chill. But I would rather be the hardest working person in the room that people want to be like, yes, I want to bring this girl back on because she's here to work.
That's such a good point, Zara. And I have a question for both of you with regards to this. And May, I want to start with you. I'd love for you to sort of just share with our audiences, what do you feel is the difference between an engaged audience versus a passive one? Because I think there's this mentality behind, I need more followers, I need more followers, I need more eyes on it. Mm-hmm. But what if they're not an engaged audience? And why does it matter? So May, I'm going to take this over to you.
It's actually super important to have an engaged audience because numbers don't mean anything unless the numbers are actually engaging. Because if you have like such a huge following, I'll even say it myself, I have a decent size following, but then a lot of them don't even actually engage with my content, which the numbers look very impressive to the outside world. But when it comes to analytics and things that are actually quite beneficial, sometimes it could be detrimental to your content. Because I would say if people are trying to make a living when it comes to content creation, usually you try to monetize. You can't, unfortunately, because we're in Canada, TikTok can't be monetized. And so you have to try and figure out how to monetize other ways. So people do brand deals, people do third-party websites where they can somewhat subscribe to your content. And then with that, they tend to monetize in a better, more stable way. And I think that's way more valuable than having such a large amount of viewers, because those people don't even care about you.
Right.
The people who do care about you are the ones that want to add value to you and subscribe to you and show you that they are always going to be here to support you. And that's way more important than anything.
True loyal fan base, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And I would say, if anything, it would be best to somehow create a community where you are engaged with your followers rather than just creating content that is just like for shock value or sensationalism. Because Right. Yes, you can market yourself better and have a wider reach by exploring the general public, but they don't care about you. They don't even know who you are. So
I think things what we've heard too is like when you're engaging with your audiences too, it's like be your authentic self, because mm-hmm. they know when you're not being authentic.
So Zara, then for you, would you agree with the same thing and that a smaller engaged audience is more important to you and your growth as a creator versus a large following that's not as engaged?
Yeah, engaged audience is everything. It's fascinating. Some of the brands that I've worked with, they'd be working with another actor, another personality with 5 million followers. But then they look at engagement. It's like my engagement would be so much higher when it comes to brand deals and like me making money through my Instagram specifically, because that's where I make money from, is they want to see engagement. They want to see that, you know, people are interested in me and that it's authentic to you instead of just like, oh, here is a bottle of this that I want to sell, versus they know that I'm really into wellness and living a healthy lifestyle. I don't drink, I don't smoke. And like, this is who is Zara. So when she is recommending like a juice or something that is made in BC, that makes sense. It goes with her lifestyle.
It's actually some great advice for creators, I think. I think when creators are starting, it's like, you know, a sponsorship comes for their project or their content that they're creating and they want to jump on it. But is it the right partnership for you as a creator and the direction you want to take? So I think that's really great advice.
I think that circles back again to that authenticity piece, right, Jen? Like, it's find the things that are the right fit for what you're trying to create.
Well, let's jump into our next section. We're going to have a little fun with a segment we like to call 1 Minute Mentor. Cam, do you want to explain how it works?
So we're going to give each of you 30 seconds, so that I know this might be tough, to share the best piece of advice that you've ever received about content creation, maybe marketing yourself, or maybe growing your audiences. So May, why don't we start with you?
Let's see. Stay authentic, 100%. Stay authentic, post whatever. Even if you doubt that it's not going to do well, doesn't matter. You never know. If you like it, someone else out there probably likes it. Consistency, not priority, but try your best to be consistent and just stay true to yourself.
I can just see our listeners or our viewers like scribbling down everything you're trying to
check,
you're
check, 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 check.
So how about you, Zara?
Show up. You know, showing up is like more than half of the game, because so many people are in their fears. So many people, when I talked about creating my show Wanderlusting in France, you won't believe how many people were messaging me and saying, oh my God, I had the same idea. But so many people have the ideas, but they don't have follow through. So whether it is posting regularly, whether as a content creator, YouTuber, actor, whatever, artist, painter, singer, just show up to the canvas. And do the work, like share your art with the world. Don't hold back.
Sticking with this mentorship theme with giving advice, love to get into some more practical advice for our audience, some do's and don'ts for creators who are watching or listening to this podcast episode. So I want to first dive into talking about trends and timing. I think everyone out there knows, you know, the popular trends on social media or in content creation, what have you. So what is your strategy for taking advantage of maybe piggybacking on trends or existing viral content? Or do you not look at that at all? Zara, let's start with you for this one.
I haven't really used any of the viral trendy stuff. I try to be more dancing to my own beat and my rhythm. And maybe because I'm a different generation, but I know there's people my age who do the TikTok trends and it's totally cool. But my thing is like staying true to Zara, and like that is the Zara brand. And whether the trends are coming and going, I'm true to who I am. And I get that sometimes for shock value, some things are really funny. Like during COVID, there were all these cute dances that I tried to learn, but I'm like,
yeah,
that's not me. You know, I tried, it's not me. I just have to stick true to who I am and what my brand is, which is, you know, sharing stories and sharing the world authentically through photos and visuals on my page.
And we are back to being authentic and real. The trend through this whole episode. May, over to you. So what do you do when it comes to like the viral trends, piggybacking on it? Do you utilize it to help build your following?
I would say that you could totally use it as a tool if you use it consciously. So a lot of people, they hop on it because they don't realize that what a trend is and what it does. But if you use it for marketing purposes, it's great, because in our day and age, trends are so quick. It's crazy. Going back into like when I was a kid, trends would last like years, but now it lasts like days.
Yeah.
So if you're going to use a trend, you have to make sure, like Zara said, it has to be authentic to you, because if you don't, then it's kind of cringe and kind of weird. And it may be a little like off-putting to your followers. So yeah, I would say if it resonates with you, if you want to do it, then don't hold back. Why not? And if you don't like it, you could take it down. But you need to make sure that with these trends, you need to customize it so it makes more sense to your branding.
Yeah, that makes sense. I find it really interesting though, with the trends going on, relevant content, consistent content, and then keeping up with your audiences. Like, how do you manage the grind of doing that and keeping, you know, your audiences engaged and growing with all that going on? How do you manage that?
I want to talk a little bit about the mental health aspect of this. Like, I'm just coming from filming nonstop for 30 days, and I landed in Vancouver Thursday night.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Yeah. right?
And then
every busy schedule.
30 days? No break?
No break.
This is a perfect question for you then, Zara. Like, how do you manage that grind?
That's a really great question. And, you know, I certainly tested my own limits. But when it came to posting, there were some collaborations, like some brands who were paying me, and there was some job-related stuff that needed to be posted. And after the first little bit, I just gave myself a break because I was doing stories daily, but not like religiously, that it was like overwhelming. Because I'm also producing, I'm on camera talent, and I'm communicating with the tourism folks, like all these officials, and everyone is communicating with me. And I've had to tell some of the people I'm working with, like, just so you know, like, I'm like just one person and I don't have like a big team. And learning to stand up for myself while doing the job that I'm... It's such a fine balance.
Mm-hmm. I love the fact that you're talking about setting boundaries for yourself and making sure that people understand that you are one person. And so definitely, it sounds like you have put a few gates in place to make sure that you're protecting yourself because of the grind. I love that advice. May, what about you? What do you do to protect yourself from like the constant grind of content creation and growing your audience?
I kind of just post whenever I feel like posting. The reason for that is because back when I did start seeing the numbers grow and I started realizing, oh, this is actually a tangible career. I had no idea. Then I started getting obsessed with it. And I started getting obsessed with the numbers. And I'm like, oh, these numbers are not good enough. I would see like a video that has like 2-3 million views and like over 1 million likes on my post. And I'm like, not enough. And I'm looking back now, I'm like, what do you mean not enough? You're crazy. That's amazing. You need to be able to look back at your stuff or even look at your stuff right now. Be very present with what you're doing and appreciate the amount of effort and the amount of success that you've already accomplished. Like whenever my friends show me their posts and they're like, oh yeah, no, it got 12,000, not even likes, 12,000 views. And then they'd be like, yeah, but it's just 12,000. I'd be like, dude, you have like 12 followers and that's 12,000 views. That's amazing. Like it's all about perspective. That's one thing that I lost myself a little bit is that I got obsessed with the numbers and I started to value myself based on the numbers and I started getting depressed because if I didn't reach a certain number, it would really affect my mental health. And like she was saying, mental health is super important. So that's why I took a step back and I'm like, you know what? It doesn't have control over me anymore. I'm doing what I want to do. And if it works out, then it works out. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And that's something that people really need to take in consideration.
100%.
And I think that's a hard thing, especially when you look at younger generations who grew up with social media, with really focusing on your likes and your subscribers and whatnot. It was all a numbers game, right? So being able to have that smaller following that's engaged is so much more beneficial to you as a creator. And I would also think that, you know, once you are fully authentic and showing yourself and you've got an engaged audience that loves your content, they will wait for the next piece of content coming out. Yes, they want more content probably every single day, but they will wait for that really amazing piece of content that's coming.
Yeah, I want to add something about like what you just said, Jen, and also the mental health aspect that I was mentioning. The one thing that really helps me is like, it's a small group, but I have some really close creative friends who are women who are doing incredible work, who like support me, who I turn to. So I think it's also really important when you're a creative to have other creatives who you can trust, who you can turn to with your mask down and really share your inner struggles. Because the mental health aspect, when we come to whether you're a content creator on TikTok, a filmmaker, a TV host, whatever, the mental health aspect is really important because we're doing things all by ourselves. Like I'm like at home, me, it looks like you're always working at home and we're just by ourselves, right? Like, so we need that community. We need that support.
We've actually talked about that on a couple of episodes now, where finding your community is so important for so many other reasons too, but mental health as well. So, you know, honestly, thank you for sharing that with us and our listeners. It's about that time in the show where we have to start to wrap things up, unfortunately. So before we wrap things up completely, why don't you tell our listeners and viewers where they can connect with you and help grow your audience a little bit more? How about over to you, Zara?
I mostly post on Instagram, but I also upload on YouTube. You can find all my episodes from On Location. I am heading to Cranbrook shortly and then Terrace, which I'm very, very excited about. And then we are going into post-production for my show, Wanderlusting in France, which will not be coming out until wintertime anyways. But you'll get to see me journeying through France, the south of France, living my dreams of being a princess in a chateau and, you know, minus the prince. We're looking for that still. And yeah, voila. So follow me on Instagram. It's Zara Durrani, just my first and last name.
How about you, May? Where can our viewers catch up with you?
You can find me on Google. You can Google my name, May, M-A-E, last name Belen, B-E-L-E-N. And there you can find my TikTok, my Instagram, probably my YouTube, IMDb. I don't know what else is on there. Famous birthdays. I found out that technically I'm considered famous because they asked for my birthday. So there's that. I'm actually producing a web series and it's going to be on YouTube. It's about two stoner girls doing crazy stuff and it's really dumb and stupid, but it's a good time. So just Google me.
Again, you'll have to share that with us when you have it posted so we can take a look at it too. And again, thank you so much for sharing your advice with our listeners and joining us today, both of you.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, I had a great time.
Well, Jen, talk about another jam-packed episode with a lot of insight.
Definitely.
It's like May and Zara had so much useful advice. What stood out most for you?
I think the one thing that resonated through the entire conversation is be your authentic self. And, you know, you can grow a following jumping on the trends that are out there. But if it's not true to you, you're really not going to build that engaged audience, which is what is going to help you grow even further. So just being true to yourself, whether that's your content, whether it's how often you're posting, whether it's brand deals that you're working on, when you need to, you know, monetize content, any of that, just make sure you are being true to yourself.
I picked up in a lot of the conversation with them, and the one point was about also creating barriers or like know what your limits are, or like set expectations so that you're not overcommitting, that you, you know, to your point, like you're still being authentic about who you are, but you're protecting your mental health, not going to burnout because you're trying to post four times a day and things like that. So set your limits and set your expectations when working with people, I think came out loud and clear for me as well.
Also setting your boundaries, not only with who you're going to work with, but also for your audience,
yeah,
right? You're setting those boundaries. And I think there is this, you know, you're staring at your phone or you're staring at your laptop or your iPad and you just keep scrolling and scrolling and scrolling. And it almost can somewhat be robotic. And I think it is, as an audience, you can sometimes forget that these are humans too. And everybody needs to take a break. Just setting those expectations for your audience will help you retain your audience as well, because then they know what to expect as far as your posting schedule and the type of content that they're going to see, etc.
And your niche, that was the last thing I'd say, is finding your niche. You can't be everything to everyone, just like we talked about pitches.
Exactly.
It's the same thing when trying to grow your audience, I heard. It's finding that niche or finding that thing that resonates with your audience and be consistent with that.
So much. I can't wait for our viewers and our listeners to watch this full episode. So much goodness. That's it for this episode of First Frame, brought to you by TeleStoryHive. Thanks so much to you, our viewers and listeners, for joining us.
Please hit follow so you don't miss a single episode, and be sure to tune in next time when we're going to tackle a really important issue, diversity and representation in the creative community.
If you'd like to learn more about how TeleStoryHive can help you along your content creation journey, you can check out storyhive.com. Until next time, I'm Jennifer Park.
And I'm Cameron Zinger, and that's a wrap.